Chapter 2, Mrs. Who. When Meg woke to the jangling of her alarm clock, the wind was still blowing, but the sun was shining. The worst of the storm was over. She sat up in bed, shaking her head to clear it. It must have been a dream. She'd been frightened by the storm and worried about the tramp, so she just dreamed about going down to the kitchen and seeing Mrs. Watson and having her mother get all frightened and upset by that word. What was it? Tess? Tess something. She dressed hurriedly, picked up the kitten still curled up on the bed, and dumped it unceremoniously on the floor. The kitten yawned, stretched, gave a piteous meow, trotted out of the attic and down the stairs. Meg made her bed and hurried after it. In the kitchen, her mother was making French toast, and the twins were already at the table. The kitten was lapping milk out of a saucer. "Where's Charles?" Meg asked. "Still asleep. We had rather an interrupted night, if you remember." "I hoped it was a dream," Meg said. Her mother carefully turned over 4 slices of French toast, then said in a steady voice, "No, Meg, don't hope it was a dream. I don't understand it any more than you do. But one thing I've learned is that you don't have to understand things for them to be. I'm sorry I showed you I was upset. Your father and I used to have a joke about a tesseract."
"What is a tesseract?" Meg asked.
"It's a concept." Mrs. Murray handed the twins the syrup. "I'll try to explain it to you later. There isn't time before school."
"I don't see why you didn't wake us up," Dennis said. "It's a jip we missed out on all the fun."
"You'll be a lot more awake in school today than I will." Meg took her French toast to the table.
"Who cares?" Sandy said. "If you're going to let old tramps come into the house in the middle of the night, Mother, you ought to have Dan and me around to protect you."
"After all, Father would expect us to," Dennis added.
"We know you have a great mind and all, Mother," Sandy said, "but you don't have much sense, and certainly Meg and Charles don't."
"I know. We're morons." Meg was bitter.
"I wish you wouldn't be such a dope, Meg. Syrup, please."
Sandy reached across the table.
"You don't have to take everything so personally. Use a happy medium, for heaven's sake. You just goof around in school and look out the window and don't pay any attention."
"You just make things harder for yourself," Dennis said. "And Charles Wallace is going to have an awful time next year when he starts school. We know he's bright, but he's so funny when he's around other people, and they're so used to thinking he's dumb. I don't know what's going to happen to him. Sandy and I'll sock anybody who picks on him, but that's about all we can do." "Let's not worry about next year till we get through this one," Mrs. Murray said. "More French toast, boys?" At school, Meg was tired, and her eyelids sagged and her mind wandered. In social studies, she was asked to name the principal imports and exports of Nicaragua. And though she had looked them up dutifully the evening before, now she could remember none of them. The teacher was sarcastic, the rest of the class laughed, and she flung herself down in her seat in a fury. "Who cares about the imports and exports of Nicaragua anyhow?" she muttered. "If you're going to be rude, Margaret, you may leave the room," the teacher said.
"Okay, I will," Meg flounced out.
During study hall, the principal sent for her. "What seems to be the problem now, Meg?" he asked pleasantly enough. Meg looked sulkily down at the floor. "Nothing, Mr. Jenkins." "Miss Porter tells me you were inexcusably rude." Meg shrugged. "Don't you realize that you just make everything harder for yourself by your attitude?" the principal asked. "Now, Meg, I'm convinced that you can do the work and keep up with your grade if you will apply yourself. But some of your teachers are not. You're going to have to do something about yourself. Nobody can do it for you." Meg was silent.
"Well, what about it, Meg?"
"I don't know what to do," Meg said.
"You could do your homework, for one thing. Wouldn't your mother help you?"
"If I asked her to."
"Meg, is something troubling you? Are you unhappy at home?" Mr. Jenkins asked.
At last Meg looked at him, pushing out her glasses in a characteristic gesture.
"Everything's fine at home."
"I'm glad to hear it. But I know it must be hard on you to have your father away." Meg eyed the principal warily and ran her tongue over the barbed line of her braces. "Have you had any news from him lately?"